turn to hymn number 229. If you're able to stand as we sing, 229. Special special folks on the prayer list, like I say, one member, Brother Jerry Dodson, my old neighbor friend of mine, Bill Hester. Lift him and his family up in prayer, and the Hilly family. Yes. Continue to pray for them. Got to hear him speak, like I said, this morning. For those of you who weren't here this morning, down in Florida when we were traveling, it brought a really good message. Got to meet him and his wife and the kids. And just want to remember them, pray for them while he goes through this trying time. And you brethren, have anybody else or anything else I've forgotten? Yes, Brother Casey.
Sister Tina Wilder has cancer, and I was down at Grace Baptist Church in Frankfort for their monthly area wide. And, I don't know specifics, but I know she's having some difficulties with her treatments, so pray for her.
Sister Tina Wilder, if you couldn't hear Brother Casey, she's a member of Frankfort.
She's a member. Her husband, Mike Wilder, is pastor at Trinity Missionary Baptist Church in Richmond, Kentucky.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In Richmond. So remember her, Sister Tina Wilder. And as we go to the Lord in prayer, I know it's hard to remember, for me it is at least, all these names, but the Lord knows who's on our hearts. And, it's nice to have Joseph here this afternoon. Glad he could make it. And as we go to the Lord in prayer, we'll ask Brother David if he would lead us at this time.
Dear Lord, most precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege to be here, dear Lord, and hear thy word and sing thy praises. We thank you, Lord, for your traveling mercies to bring Tim and Sheila home. We thank you, dear Lord, for all that you do for us each and every day, all the things that we don't even know about, dear Lord, and how you protect us and watch over us. We do ask, Lord, that you be with those mentioned here today on the prayer list, that you just give them strength and guidance in this time of need. We pray, dear Lord, that you be with the ones that aren't here. They're in different places, dear Lord, that you just be with them. Brother Hugh and Iris and Voisel and them, just be with them. Watch over and hope they're watching today on the internet. We pray, Lord, that you just be with them and guide their lives. We pray, Lord, that you just be with Brother John as he brings forth this message, and open our hearts and minds that we may truly hear this message and understand it and apply it to our lives. We pray, dear Lord, that you be with the ones that were not mentioned here today on the prayer list, just lead and guide and direct there.
Yes.
Please go with us now and watch over us and help us each day to be a light and be a good witness to those around about us.
Yes.
We ask these things in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Casey, did you have a special? You do? Come on, brother. I'm going to have you sing now, and then we'll sing one more before Brother John comes.
Yesterday, by human standards, was a fairly dreary day. Had a lot of rain. And yesterday morning, I got up and started my weekly journey down to Richmond, Kentucky. And I was just about to my destination when I was reminded of the simple truth in this song. As I came around a dead curve, somebody had spun out, hit the medium, lost control of their car. So I pulled off to the side of the road and got out and tried to be of whatever assistance that I could. And as I stood on the shoulder trying to direct traffic, trying to keep these people from getting hit as people are flying around this curve, getting fairly close to me as well, the more I looked back and thought about it, the more I was reminded of the protection that we have through our Lord and Savior.
Thank you.
sing one more congregation. Let's turn to hymn number 212. Our best. 212.
Amen. if you want to follow along, 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings. And we're going to talk about Jesus Christ. And like I say, how are we going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Kings? Now, Jesus is a king, but in the book of 1 Kings is all about kings. But the chapter we're going to go to is talking about the temple. The temple. And the temple is a type of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. There are all kinds of types in the Old Testament of Jesus Christ. The sacrifices themselves are types of Jesus Christ. The materials in the temple are types of Jesus Christ. The coverings that cover the tabernacle are types. There are all kinds of types. And when the temple was dedicated by Solomon, he prayed a prayer. It's a long chapter. I'm not telling you what chapter yet. I haven't forgotten, but I just don't want you to start reading. I want you to listen. Because this build-up is important. This is probably the more important part of the whole sermon, is to see that this prayer that Solomon prays uplifts God, and there's a pattern to it. It's a rather lengthy prayer, and I hope we get through all of it, but it's a rather lengthy prayer. But there are some things that Solomon repeats over and over and over again. And those things are that the people should pray toward this house, toward the temple. Now, like I said, all these are types of Jesus Christ and us as children of God, that we should pray toward God, seek out his face. And that's what Solomon mentions over and over again. In fact, that's mentioned 10 times in this prayer. Also mentioned 10 times is that God does not actually live in that temple. Yes, the glory of God came in and enveloped the temple. That's where he meets with his people. But God does not actually live there. God is in heaven. And Solomon mentions that about 10 times, that God is in heaven. Even though they're dedicating this temple to Jehovah, he realizes that Jehovah cannot actually live in a building. You can't confine him. He's greater than that. This is just the meeting place where God meets with his people. And again, that's like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and man. And we have to come through Jesus Christ to meet with God. He is our connection with God. God is a spirit, but we have this go-between that is not only spirit, not only God, but he's also human being, the perfect human being, so we can identify with him, and we can go to him. So both God and the people were commanded, maybe not commanded because you don't command God, but were said to look toward this temple. And again, God is looking toward this temple when the people look toward the temple and do their prayers. So again, we look toward Jesus Christ, and when God looks at us, he looks at us through Jesus Christ. He looks at his sacrifice, his perfect life. He looks at his death, his resurrection, his shed blood, all the things that Jesus Christ did. God looks at that to justify us. So again, it's all through Jesus Christ. The word when, I checked those. The word when actually appears 6 times in this prayer. Solomon is prophesying, not just if. Now the word if appears also, but if something happens. But Solomon actually several times says when this happens. And sometimes what he prophesies is when your people fall into sin. It's a given that as human beings, we will fall into sin.
Right.
And Solomon knew that. He's a realist. He's smart. Smartest guy that ever lived outside of Jesus Christ. You know, wisest man. So you have somebody like Solomon that says, when your people sin. So that's a given, that we will sin. Also, it mentions God as the giver over and over again. I counted at least 8 times that God gives something.
Amen.
And obviously, that's where we should go to get anything, is to God.
Amen.
He's the giver. He knows how to give. He can give good gifts. He can give permanent gifts. If we just go out through the lust of our own flesh and try to get things, lots of times those things fall flat. Those things don't satisfy. But when you go to God and get what He is giving, then it satisfies, it's forever, it's for our good, it does last.
Amen.
Also, the word prayer, or sometimes just supplication, most of the time the word prayer and supplication are mentioned in conjunction with each other in the same verse. And that appears 15 times. So again, Solomon is recommending to his people that they need to pray. Now, like I said, pray toward this house. And we will also see the word hear, H-E-A-R, that God hears. That's mentioned 14 times in this prayer. I counted up all these things to see that, you know, it's sort of a lengthy prayer from verse 22 to 58, 54, or something like that. So there's a lot of verses here, but still, for one thing to be mentioned 15 times in just one little passage, 10 times in one little passage, it's a rather important passage. So we're going to turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 22. I'd love to do the whole chapter. It has 66 verses. But we're going to leave out the forward part where, you know, things got started and the temple's been dedicated and they do sacrifices afterwards and they bring the priests and the people together and they bring up the ark and they do this and they do this and Solomon blesses the people and there's all kinds of interesting stuff that happens in the first 21 verses. But we'll just start right at the prayer. Verse 22 of 1 Kings 8. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. Now he's standing in front of this magnificent temple, just completed, they're in the midst of dedicating this temple. Why wouldn't he be pointing to the temple? Why wouldn't he open up his arms and say, everybody, look at this temple, look at this building. Didn't we build such a magnificent building? But he doesn't. He raises his hands toward heaven. Because Solomon realizes that God does not actually dwell in this house. He takes up an abode for a while. He comes and goes. His glory departs. Ichabod, his glory departs sometime. So it's not like God has actually taken up permanent residence in this building. So he's lifting up his hands to heaven. And like I said, all through here, about 10 times, Solomon mentions that God is in heaven. Yes, they're dedicating this house, but he doesn't want the Jews to start worshiping this house. Evidently, Solomon knows the Jewish history, and they're real good about worshiping all kinds of stuff. Oh yeah, Moses was commanded to make a bronze serpent, put it up on a pole, you look and live, and you know your snake bites will be done. Well, what did the Jews start doing? They started worshiping it. In the time of Gideon, it was an idol, you know, and he had to bust it up and break it and throw it away. So the Jews were real good about hanging on to things like this. And maybe Solomon knew the propensity for what they would like to do. So he really makes a point to say, God is in heaven. Yes, this temple is wonderful. We've been ordered to do this and build this. And God will come visit us and meet with us here on the earthly basis. Because it's hard for us to go to heaven and meet God up there. So he condescends and comes down onto the earth just like Jesus Christ. Almost everything I'm going to say, remember, this ties into a type of Jesus Christ. So God comes down and abides with mankind for a while and lives amongst them for a while. So verse 22, Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord, and he raises his hands toward heaven. Verse 23, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant David, my father, that promised him, thou promised him. So God kept what he promised to David. That's what he's saying. And again, Solomon is mentioning that God is a covenant-keeping God. He does what he promises. He made a promise to David, and guess what? It's coming to pass. Thou spakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. So, obviously, God doesn't have a hand. God doesn't have a mouth. But this is the way we speak about God.
Amen.
If he were a human being. So, yes, the mouth of God. You spoke it with your mouth, You told David certain things. You told the prophet certain things. Well, your hand, your power, you brought it to pass. It came to pass. It's fulfilled as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel. So now he's asking for a further promise. Yes, you promised that you would let us build a temple, that you would bring us into this land, that you would give us all this land from the Euphrates River to the river of Egypt, which is not the Nile River. I have to say that every time, because as soon as you say the river of Egypt, everybody thinks Nile River. It's not. It's a different river. So that land was promised to Abraham. And Solomon says, I've got all that land. You read it in other places. He's got all the land from the Euphrates River down to the river of Egypt. So he's saying, now what I want you to do, God, since you kept that promise, that part of the covenant, keep the rest of your promise that you would not fail to have a lineage of David to sit upon the throne. And as long as there was a throne in Judah to sit on, a son of David sat on it. Now, obviously, they disobeyed, and they were taken into Babylonian captivity. But as long as there was a Judah that was independently ruled by a Jewish man, it was a lineage of David. So God does keep that promise, too. So that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. So he's saying, yes, would you keep that part of the covenant too? But will God indeed dwell on the earth? A good question. Will God indeed dwell on the earth? Now, in the person of Jesus Christ, God did dwell on the earth. But again, it was only for, what, 33 years? And then he was crucified, buried, rose again from the dead, and ascended to heaven. And that's where he is right now, on the right hand of the Father, bodily. So he is not here on this earth anymore. You might say, well, the Holy Spirit was sent. The church was not left comfortless. God and God the Father and God the Son sent the Holy Spirit. And you're right, God is still on the earth because he's here as the Holy Spirit. And really, there is no place in his universe where God is not. God is everywhere. He's in his universe. But the question still goes, and this is the point of what Solomon's trying to say. They're in front of this. They're dedicating this temple. It's a great temple, glorious temple. Later on, when it's destroyed, and they try to rebuild it, the old men that remember the first temple, they cry because of the difference. That Solomon's temple was so great, but look at this temple. I mean, this is nothing in comparison. The old men, they cry because of the difference. So Solomon's temple was a glorious temple. So the question, though, will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. Several places, we won't have time to go to them, but you can write these down and turn to them later. 2 Corinthians 12:3 and Ephesians 4:10 talks about the third heaven. One of them talks about the third heaven. One talks about one beyond the heavens. So this place, the heaven and the heaven of heavens. No matter how many heavens you want to divide it into, we divide it into the third heaven, and there's beyond that, and whatever, however you're going to divide it. But he says, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, much less the earth. Now, if the heaven of heavens can't contain God, how is this little building over in Jerusalem going to contain God? It can't. See, and this is the big difference between the Jewish religion and the other religions of the culture of different nations. They had a God, they would build a temple for it, and they'd put their little idol up there and say, that's our God. There it is, right there. Laban, when Jacob left, he said, you've stolen my gods. Now, what kind of God is that can be stolen like that? Yeah, you've stolen my gods. And Jacob said, well, whoever's got it, let him die. Search the camp. You can go around. And Jacob went around, started searching. And he couldn't find it because it was being hidden and sat on. What kind of God is that can be hidden from somebody, that can be taken and moved around? No, Solomon's proving here that our God is unlike any other God. So he goes on, cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I've built it. Now, it sounds like he's really putting down this house. You know, it's like we just finished this, we're in the middle of dedication of this temple, but it's like Solomon, again, maybe he knows human nature so well, and that's what Ecclesiastes is all about, is human nature. He knows human nature so well that he thinks the people are going to see this and see how great this is, and it's going to be a stumbling block in their view. It's going to be a stumbling block in our religion. So we've got to publicly, the congregation was there, the priests were there, everybody who was anybody was there to listen to this. So during his prayer, he's going to mention it. He's going to hit it home and let them know that, yes, this is a house, it's a nice temple, but don't get carried away with it.
Right.
The heaven of heavens can't contain thee, so how is this house going to contain you? That's impossible. Yet have they vowed respect unto the prayer of thy servant. Here's where prayer mentioned. Like I said, prayer is mentioned over and over and over and over and over again. 15 times prayers are mentioned. So here is Solomon praying. And you notice how Solomon refers to himself as thy servant. He talks to God and he says, God, I am your servant. Now here is the king of the nation. He's probably all decked out in all kinds of royal robes, and he's got a crown on, you know, an entourage, and all kinds of pomp and circumstance, and he is the king. No other Jewish king was as great and magnificent as Solomon. He is the apex of Judaism as far as an earthly king goes until Jesus Christ came. But yeah, and he calls himself, God, I am your servant. Mm-hmm. He calls himself thy servant. I am thy servant, the prayer of thy servant. So he's praying. And to his supplication. Listen to my supplication. Have respect to my prayer. O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry of the prayer. Again, prayer is mentioned. And here it talks about God hearkening to his prayer. That's the other side of prayer. When we pray, we don't just pray to God, but God has to hear that prayer. God has to hear that prayer. And there are scriptures all over the place that talks about how God likes the prayers in the book of Revelation. What is the incense? It's the prayers of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
It's the prayers of the saints. That's how much God likes the prayers of the saints. So he's asking God to hearken, to hear the cry of the prayer. Now this is a God that even the heavens of heavens can't contain. And we're asking God to listen to thy servant, a servant's prayer. You know, you might say, well, that's awful audacious to even mention that. No, it's not. That's what God expects. God expects us to pray. And he goes on to say, which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be open toward this house. Now, this verse is sort of a companion verse with a lot of the other ones that we're going to see when Solomon instructs the people, pray looking toward this house. When you're in a foreign country, pray facing this direction. And they still do that today. They know which way Jerusalem is. And supposedly the custom is they pray facing toward Jerusalem, toward the temple. That's what they do. When you think about the Wailing Wall, which is now called the Western Wall, when they are all facing the Western Wall, the Temple Mount is up on top in front of them. That's where the temple used to be. So they are still obeying this, and they're praying toward the temple. They're praying toward the temple. So he says, when thine eyes be open toward this house. We're both looking at the same thing.
Right.
Like I said, that's how the type of Jesus Christ goes here. We look toward Jesus Christ as our sacrifice, as our go-between between us and God. God is looking at Jesus Christ as the sacrifice being accepted. And I see you, sinner, I see you, my servant, through the blood of Jesus Christ. So he's asking God to also look toward this place.
Right.
So look toward this house, night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there. Over and over again, God, through the scriptures, the Old Testament, said that I will choose a place to put my name. Wherever he puts his name is an important place. So Solomon is just repeating that back to God. You said you would choose a place to put your name. Well, this is it. You've instructed us to build your temple here in Jerusalem. So we want you to look toward this place when you listen to us. So the place which thou said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. So he's asking God to look toward this place, to listen to the prayer that I'm praying toward this place.
Right.
The focal point is the same. This sort of is the same thing as in the New Testament when we talk about being in Christ, or we talk about living godly, or we talk about living in the Spirit. This is all having the mindset of God, looking the same way God is looking, looking mm-hmm. the same direction, seeing the same things, seeing things the same way God would see things. And that's what Solomon's asking. We want you to look toward this place when we pray, and look toward this place also. Verse 30, and hearken thou to the supplication, so again, ear, hearkening is hearing, to the supplication of thy servant, and that's prayer, supplication, hear the prayer, and of thy people Israel when they shall pray toward this place. Now, I can see we probably won't have time to get all the way to verse 54, 52, but you'll see already the pattern developing.
Right.
These words that I gave you at the very beginning of how many times he says, hear, listen. How many times he says prayer? How many times he says toward this place? How many times he talks about God in heaven? Over and over and over again. So verse 31. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear. Now starting right here, Solomon gets into different circumstances. Different things that might come to pass in the life of a Jewish person. And sometimes he says if. Sometimes he says when, knowing that it will happen. This time, verse 31, he says, if any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him, to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven. Now you notice that the oath come before thine altar in this house, but he wants God to hear in heaven. Again, you notice how very careful Solomon is not to put God in this temple. No, God's in heaven. When God hears your prayer that you directed toward this place, he will hear in heaven. That's where God is. So, verse 31 talks about the sin. Verse 32, hear thou in heaven, mm-hmm. and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. Verse 33, when thy people Israel be smitten down before enemies. Mm-hmm. Now again, Solomon sort of prophesying here, when this happens, not an if, when this happens, we know battles go on, we know people sin. Did Solomon ever read the book of Judges? You just wonder. Maybe so. Maybe Solomon said, yeah, this is what God does. If we mess up and we start serving other gods, he's obligated to discipline us. He's obligated to whack on us a little bit. So what does he do? He raises up another country and comes in and subjugates us.
Right.
So it's not if that's ever going to happen again. No, it's going to happen again. When this happens. Solomon was smart enough to know that that would happen. So when thy people Israel be smitten before the enemies because they have sinned, that's the reason why they're smitten before their enemies, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray. There's that praying. Take a lesson from this, that we need to be praying people.
Amen.
We need to be praying people. We don't pray to some idol, we pray to God, through the name of Jesus Christ, our mediator. And when they pray, make supplication unto thee in this house. Now, they're in this house, and they're praying because they've been commanded to go to this house. What does the scripture say? This is my house. It is a house of prayer, Jesus quoted in the New Testament and the Gospel. This is my house. It's a house of prayer. Of course, you've made it a den of thieves, but it's a house of prayer for all people. And Solomon gets to the strangers, the foreigners, later on in this prayer. So, you make supplication. You pray unto thee in this house. Now, that doesn't mean that God is in this house. That's where the prayers are taking place. The prayers are taking place in this house. But the prayers are going unto thee, unto God. So it's a little convoluted there. Verse 34. Then hear, again, God hears. We pray, God listens. That's how it's done. God says, you have not because you ask not. He expects us to ask. He doesn't just willy-nilly give us things. Sometimes he does. But he doesn't just give us things just because he gives us things. Sometimes he does, but he wants us to ask. And he told us to ask and to seek and to knock. And you have not because you ask not. So we need to ask. But God, I hate to say his job, but his position in this is that he hears the prayers of the saints. And that's what he's asking. Then hear. After they've done this, they've confessed their sins, they pray, they've come back to this house. Then hear thou where? In this house? No, here in heaven.
Amen.
In heaven. Hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel. Bring them again into the land which thou gavest. Which thou gavest. God is in the job of giving things to his people. Which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, meaning, as he goes on to say, when there's no rain. Heaven's closed. And again, weather comes and goes, changes back and forth and back and forth. And again, Solomon knew there were cycles in heaven. Ecclesiastes, he talks about the cycles of the wind, the path of the wind throughout the globe. He knew a thing or two about the weather and stuff. So when heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned. Mm-hmm. Again, that's another thing that Solomon's sort of pushing here. Is people, we've got this temple, we've got a God that's magnificent, heaven of heavens can't contain him, but guess what? You guys will probably still keep sinning. And that's not right. You can't do that. So heaven's going to be shut up if you sin. No rain. Rain was important in this climate. And they have sinned against thee if they pray toward this place. Mm-hmm. Now, like I said, if you had time to read this whole entire section, this whole entire prayer, you would say, okay, you've made your point. Stop talking about it. Stop reading. But this prayer is recorded for a reason. God put this prayer in here so that we would read it, so that we would understand what the message is. And the message is we pray toward the place God has shown us to pray. And that is for us toward Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. So these people, they pray toward this place. They confess thy name, turn from their sin. That's an important part too. When thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven. Now they have prayed toward this place, but thou hearest in heaven. Again, he is so great at pointing out to the people. And remember, these people are not reading this. It's not like they passed out copies to everybody, and it's a read prayer. No, Solomon's praying this, and somebody wrote it down or quoted it, or how did it get written down here in the Bible, and we know it's true. So somebody did, but we have the whole thing. So these people are just listening to it. And when you have a speaker that keeps reiterating the same thing over and over and over again, it's like, yeah, I think there's a message there. I think I've got it. Okay? And then Solomon will do it one more time and say the exact same things one more time. I don't think you do have it. I'm going to make sure you have it. You're going to go from this place knowing what I'm saying. Amen. That's what Solomon's saying. So, when they pray toward this place, verse 35, and when thou hear in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants and thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein thou should walk, and give rain. Here again, God is giving something. God's giving rain upon the land which thou hast given to thy people, the land which you gave. It's all God. God gives everything. He's giving the land. He's giving the rain. He gives forgiveness. You've given thy people for an inheritance. If there be in the land a famine, another circumstance. If there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if it be in the caterpillar. If their enemies besiege them in the land or their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, mm-hmm. What prayer and supplication. This is again a message to us that when we get into a place of sin, when we get into a place where our enemies are attacking us, when we get into a place where our livelihood is drying up, there's no rain, when we get to a place where there's disease, mildew, blasting, caterpillar, locust, all these things that he mentions here, verse 38, pray. And that's the bottom line, you pray. Prayer and supplication, so ever be made by any man or by all the people of Israel, which shall know every man and the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house.
Amen.
Spread toward your hands toward this house. That was the focal point. Toward this house. Verse 39, if you're not reading it, you can probably guess it. Because we've seen it, four times already? Then hear thou in heaven. Hear thou in heaven. That's where God is, and that's what he does. He hears the prayers of the saints.
Amen.
He hears the prayers of his saints. And the book of Judges, referring back to that again, was there ever a time when the people prayed and God didn't answer? Was there ever a time when the people messed up royally, but they prayed and asked for forgiveness of their sins, they confessed their sins? Did God ever fail to send a judge to go and buy them back from that country? He's faithful. That's his covenant. He'll keep true to his covenant. Yes, you pray the right way, you confess your sins, the Lord will hear. The Lord that's in heaven, not in some temple, some dwelling place. But hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. Now, he already said that back from the very beginning in this sort of prologue. The heavens can't contain you, neither the heaven nor heavens can contain you, much less this little house that we've built here. No. So he mentions it again, in heaven, thy dwelling place. He realizes that's where God really dwells, tabernacles, abides, stays, is in heaven. And forgive, and do, and give, again giving, to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. Again, God is the one that gave it to us. We should obey. He gave us everything we've got. What more could he give us than what he's given us, especially us spiritually? Moreover, verse 41, concerning the stranger, and these are not people that act strange, but these are foreigners, you know, resident aliens, if you would. Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of the people of Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake. This sort of includes us. We're not of Israel. I don't think there are any Jewish people of Jewish descent here. We're not of Israel. We're from a foreign country. We're Gentiles. We were not in the original covenant that God made with other peoples. So he says, a stranger that is not of Israel, but cometh out of a far country. For they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, which we have. We've heard of all those things of God through Jesus Christ. When he shall come and pray toward this house. The stranger has to do the same thing. Now this is under the Old Testament economy of things. This is under the Old Testament system. Jesus Christ hasn't come yet. So under the Old Testament system, even strangers, even Gentiles, should come and pray toward this place. That is where, on this globe, God decided to put his name, right, where God chose to meet with his people, is there in Jerusalem in the temple. So even the stranger should pray toward this house. Verse 42. Verse 43, hear thou in heaven. How many times have we seen that? Yeah, I know. You could have guessed it. After they pray toward this place, what's the next thing God hears in heaven? God in heaven hears that prayer. So, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. Again, he mentions that's where you live. That's where God is living. This prayer is a prayer to God. But it's not just for God. Most people, most Bible scholars or whatever, they think that there was a platform built, and I think Chronicles actually says, there was a platform built in front of all the people. And Solomon is up on this platform, and he's got his hands raised up toward heaven. And, you know, he's saying this for the benefit of the people, too. That's why it's teaching. I think that's why it's recorded for us. It's for our benefit, so we can be edified by this prayer and what it means. So, you know, these people are hearing what he is saying here. Verse 43, hear thou from heaven of thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth thee for, that all the people of the earth may know thy name to fear thee. I don't know what the Jewish people that think the Gentiles are excluded do with verses like this. Because he said, even the strangers are going to pray toward this place because they will hear of your great name. And Solomon's even asking God, do what they ask. That's what he said. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee to do. Yeah, answer their prayers too. Now, do Gentiles have a Jewish high priest in the Old Testament system? No, the Jewish high priest is for Jewish people. It's not for Gentiles. The courts of the temple were divided. Gentiles were the first people in. They could not, that's as far as they could go. Then you had the court of the women. Women could go a little further. Then you had the court of the men. They could go a little further. Then the priests could go even further. And then the high priest could go even further. So, I mean, the society was divided up. The Gentiles were on the very, very outside circle, looking in. For all the people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, to do as do the people of Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built, it is called by thy name. Yes, he is lifting up his house. It's already 2:30. We'll stop right here. Verse 44, maybe we'll finish this prayer next time. Because this is good reading. This is good reading. We shouldn't skip over this. We shouldn't go fast. I always have too much material. Maybe I should have divided it up at the beginning. But you can see, we're only halfway through, a little more than halfway through. And you can already see the pattern over and over and over again. Yes, God lives in heaven, but he lives to hear the prayers of his saints. Prayers that are done the right way, through the right channels, through the right mediator. And that's what we have in Jesus Christ, is the right mediator.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God asked Isaiah toward the end of that book, where is the place you could build for me? And I'm paraphrasing. He said, I won't. My heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where, what can you build that would contain me? And he goes on to say, I'll be with the man that is a humble and contrite spirit that trembleth at my word. So God is a spirit, and to build a place for him, it's in your heart. You trust him with all your heart. You listen to him and read his word and follow his ways. He said, I'll dwell with that man. That's good. I've read that prayer, but that's powerful. You're right. You don't want to hasten through that. That's good, Brother John. Thank you for that. Looking forward to the next message. What number, brother?
305.
305. You stand. Say a couple verses in closing. 305.
Ability to be here. There's too many to name, too many to number. We're thankful, Lord, that you are a merciful and a gracious God unto us. We pray that you would bless the word that's been preached here to our hearts, to our lives. Thank you for Brother Haynes and his continued service. Lord, even through his health struggles, we pray that you, Lord, lift him up, touch his body, heal him according to your will. We pray for the word that he has presented to us this afternoon. Lord, may you help us to keep in mind each and every day that every need that we have, every desire of our heart, if we come boldly before your throne of grace through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we have an audience with you. We can lift our prayers and petitions up to you and know that you do hear us. And Lord, sometimes your answer to our prayer may not be what we want, but you know what's best for us.
And whatever your answer is, may we rest in the fact that we know it is what we need.
Yes.
We pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in our lives and our churches. May you help your churches to be a shining light to their communities. May you give those of us who are called by your great calling as sons and daughters of you, as adopted sons and daughters, may we go forth with boldness. May you help us to remove things in our lives that come between us and thee that would obstruct our Christian walk. Lord, as the song says, may there be nothing between my soul and Savior. We pray that you would help us to be a shining light and a salt to this earth, that we may go forth boldly telling this lost and dying world of a Savior who died on the cross for their sins. We pray that you would bless us once again, and Lord, be with services in my church this evening. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.